Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Happy Skews Day to you. It is January 24th, 2023. I'm Trey Crowder. That there is Mark Agee. What's up, Mark?
Just excited, Trey, because our long national nightmare is over. M&M's have been defeated by Tucker Carlson. They are no longer neither not sexy enough or too sexy or whatever. M&M's have announced they're going away from their spokes candies they had since for 50 years. Because they're afraid that Papaw was going to suicide bomb their headquarters or something.
Does that mean they're going to, even the commercials with, red and yellow in them, those are over, too? Because, dude, those have been going since I was, a kid. J.K. Simmons is yellow. And, that's kind of an end of an era thing, if that's what they're doing, all because they couldn't handle, green and flats or whatever the hell was happening. What'd you think about about that move by them? Because Corey in our group chat tried to spin it as them trolling conservatives by replacing them with a woman of color and stuff. But it just seemed like a cop out to me. It just seemed like them bending over for the Tuckers of the world. That's what I thought.
Maya Rudolph has been a M&M spokesman before. She was in commercials with the candies, I think. I don't know about that.
Yeah, she's great. She's awesome.
She's hilarious. I don't know if anybody knows this, but before she got into comedy, she was a musician. She was in a band. There was a spinoff of Weezer called, I think, The Rentals. But the great band, Friends of P, they did the song Friends of P, which I was a big fan of. But yet the cynic in me thinks they're just trying to create buzz for a Super Bowl commercial. Remember when they killed off Mr. Peanut?
okay. So they're going to bring him back and fiery fashion on Super Bowl Sunday, you think? Have them out there doing a strip tease, a pregnant M&M stripping as a Super Bowl commercial, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, at a thong dancing next to Rihanna during a halftime show. That's my candy coated chocolate conspiracy theory. But also an element of this that I found funny that I saw a little while ago today, the House Judiciary GOP account tweeted, "The left made M&Ms and Splash Mountain woke." And I was like, what the fuck are they talking about? Because all this stuff feels like it's like their grievances are indecipherable if you're outside. So I did some Googling. What happened was Disney's rebranding Splash Mountain to go away from the Song of the South. Because, I never actually seen the movie. I don't know. I understand that a lot of people think it's racist. I just don't know the specifics of why. But so they're still going to have the big group water slide. They're just going to have a different name, a different theme. So...
always been kind of weird because Disney's super embarrassed of that movie and keeps it buried as much as possible. But yet, I guess I've never been on Splash Mountain, but that's still the theme of that ride. So I'm kind of surprised they didn't do that years ago. Not that I give a shit either way what they do with that ride, but yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, the House GOP, please hold hearings about Splash Mountain. We could use the content. In other news, Mike Pence turns out has some top secret documents in his basement or whatever, too. And I just want to say, everybody, check your sock drawer because the plans for Bin Laden's house are probably in there. There's so many fucking
just in an old shoebox underneath these guys' beds or something. It's like they're just lousy with these classified documents. Like, who? I don't. At a certain point, it almost feels like it's the, you know, the people who make and distribute the documents' fault. You know what I mean? Like, maybe tighten that up a little bit. If everybody on Capitol Hill's got a fucking drawer of classified stuff, evidently, then maybe rein that in, guys. Maybe it's a you problem. I don't know.
I think like 2 million Americans have top secret clearance. So
I had top secret clearance. I don't anymore.
So maybe it's not, I don't fucking know. Who knows what's in these movies? But it's anyway, like, it was really funny because Fox News had to talk about it today. And they talked about it through the lens of, Mike, come on, what'd you do this for, buddy? Now we can't, now we got to talk about you and can't just go into Biden for that. It was, they were openly saying how it fucked up their programming schedule. And, in Lindsey Graham, at this deeply weird moment, if you have this video, Matt, play it, because it's just him trying to be relatable.
If you come to my house, you'll find Chick-fil-A bags all over the floor, but you're not going to find any classified information.
He said this on like three different Sunday shows.
Married
the exact
to
same it. Line. So he apparently
I'm just
thinks,
a regular guy, deeply depressed with a lot of problems, who refuses to clean up his fast food refuse from my home, you know, just like anybody would. Totally normal thing to do, have old chicken bags strewn around the house like all you regular peasants out there. I know how you guys love your chicken bag. That's me, old Lindsey.
Yeah.
So, it always cracks me up when they do that, when like they've got a bit or something, like they've got a line or a bit that you can tell they really like or really think it's funny, because they do it repeatedly like that. Like, they show up multiple times and run the same bit. That always kind of cracks me up, because they're never great, really.
Yeah, these guys are so out of touch. Lindsey Graham's been in Congress since like the 80s, I think. And like, he's like, oh, what are regular people like? Well, I know our supporters love Chick-fil-A because they protested gay people by eating chicken. So obviously, they're obviously sloppy rubes who love that shit. So they'll have bags all over their house. So I'll pretend to be like them. And anyway, every time you try to walk these people's thinking process, it gets really weird.
There is also that kind of element to it, because it's Chick-fil-A, that like adding on to the whole self-hating gay guy thing that, you know, Lindsey Graham has going on, that makes Chick-fil-A inappropriate. And I'm not saying, look, if you're gay and you like Chick-fil-A, that's fine. It's just a funny choice for him in this moment, I think.
Yeah. I know you sent me that tweet. There's a rumor that Matt Gaetz is having an affair with his spokesman, who happens to be a dude. And like, it's like weird how it doesn't speak well of us that you can go viral on the left by accusing someone of having a gay affair, but I didn't see any other documentation for it. But anyway, just acknowledging that a rumor exists.
Also, if that dude is, you know, of adult age, then hey, good change.
No. he's
better than the alternative. Like, hey, he's, you know, he's cleaning his act up. Now he's just banging his 24-year-old dude employees, or, you know, whatever may or may not be happening.
Yeah, and that he just got married like a few months ago, and that woman knew she was getting into, so she married a scumbag, so whatever. Buyer beware. So another weird story this week. This guy named George McGonigal, who was the director of counterintelligence for the New York FBI, was arrested for being on the payroll of a Russian oligarch. Allegedly, I'll just say allegedly, even though they seem to act like they have him dead to rights. This is such a deeply weird story. So he was essentially accused of taking $250,000 from Oleg Deripaska, who, if you recognize his name, Deripaska's name, he was the guy who Paul Manafort was working for when he agreed to become Trump's campaign manager for free. And I guess what he was doing was trying to get Deripaska off the sanctions list. That's what they have him dead to rights for. But I would doubt that's all he was doing. Right. And also, reminder, counterintelligence means it's your job to look for spies, so within your own department. So pretty great position for a guy who's a spy.
Yeah, that's like, we were recently on the group chat talking about that. Who's that CIA guy, Robert something other? He's like the most famous. He was a spy for Russia in the CIA, and they knew they had a mole, and so they tapped him to lead the effort to find the mole, and he was the mole the whole time. So, yeah.
Yeah. I think I'm on record saying that I think Trump is horribly corrupt and whatever. It wasn't just Russia or whatever. I don't believe there's any like high level tradecraft spy shit going on. I think it's just, you know, financial fraud and tax evasion. But it is deeply crazy because the article, October 2016 headline here, investigating Donald Trump, FBI sees no clear link to Russia. Now, this guy would have been in charge of this investigation. I don't know if he was a New York Times source on it, but this is when, remember, like, there was supposed that that server in Trump basement, in Trump organization's basement or whatever, that only communicated with a Russian bank. And that prompted a series of stories like this. But this one got framed. They wrote up this investigation and the headline got changed to say that the investigation didn't find anything, which wasn't totally true. And I don't know what the fuck is going on there. But anyway, a lot of weird smoke here. yeah, it's all very fucking weird. But yeah, this McGonagall guy seems screwed. He retired. They caught him. He was getting on a plane back from Singapore when he got off and they grabbed him. And he's looking at some like 25 years. So pretty much a life sentence for that guy if he gets got.
Yep.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? Maybe don't, you know, take money in exchange for favors to Russia if your job is, you know, dealing with people who spy for Russia and whatnot. Although, yeah, I mean, yeah. Kind of, you know, I can get why he would think he could have gotten away with it. But
yeah, you know, remember, Manafort was in fear of his life from owing Deripaska money and favors, right?
Yeah, I mean, I would be too.
he's basically the Russia's aluminum king. And when the Soviet Union collapsed and their economy was getting sold off for parts, various industries got, you know, snatched up by people. And there was actually aluminum wars over the aluminum trade in Russia. And a lot of the guys trying to make it to the top of the hill got whacked and ended up on top of it. So not a guy whose money I would take.
That's how you end up shooting yourself in the back of the head and tying yourself up in a duffel bag and throwing yourself off a bridge. That's where that ends up going. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's get into it. With us, as always, is producer Matt. This is Weekly Skews. I want to remind y'all before we continue of two quick things. Of course, number one, if you'd like to see me perform live, go to treycrowder.com. Check out all my upcoming dates. There's a bunch. We're adding more all the time. Hopefully, I'm coming near you. If so, come and see me. Get you a ticket. It'll be fun. treycrowder.com. Number two, if you enjoy this program and would like to show your support, you can do so by signing up on Patreon. You can go to weeklyskews.com/more or just go on Patreon, search for my name. You'll find us. Sign up on there. $5 a month gets you access to full-length bonus episodes. Later this week, we're going to do the second half of a two-part Q&A, answering all y'all's burning questions. We're having a lot of fun with it. We hope you'll consider it. weeklyskews.com/more or go on Patreon and search for your boy. Sign up on there, get some more skews in your life. Now, as for the show tonight, it seems there's at least one bipartisan issue on Capitol Hill that Ticketmaster sucks. Yes, the fact that unites a nation, but they're not the only ones. Congress is taking aim at some of our biggest and most bloodless corporations in a series of antitrust hearings, which have already gotten a little spicy. Also, Taylor Swift comes up a lot, so that's fun. We'll talk about it a little later, but first, of course, we begin with the Daily Dumbass. Matt, graphic, please. Tonight's DD, all those old Jewish actors and comedians who adopted Gentile stage names when they should have just leaned into it. At least that's according to one Mr. George Anthony DeValder Santos Mountain Dew Zabrowski III. Matt, play the clip.
How long did you actually live together?
We were only roommates for a few months. And I also knew him as Anthony Zabrowski.
So you knew him? Why did he say he had two names then?
Well, he used Zabrowski for his Friends of Pets United, his GoFundMe. And he would say, oh, well, you know, the Jews will give more if you're a Jew. And so that's the name he used for his GoFundMe.
Right, you get it, man.
And what was...
This is the old roommate whose scarf you stroll.
To wear to that Stop the Steal rally or whatever.
Yeah. So Lord George Santos is the gift that keeps on giving. Every time I think this can't get any stupider or funnier, I couldn't even, like, a million monkeys with a million typewriters couldn't write a story this dumb in a million years. This other story came out this week. The headline on the story is George Santos appears to admit drag queen past in Wiki post. So this came after a series of stuff. Like, he denied the picture of the drag queen. It was obviously him, was him. And one thing I learned from this is do not piss off Rio de Janeiro drag queens, because they will fucking go to the ends of the earth to get you. Because somebody dug up footage of him dancing in drag from 2003, which means they had to go through like VHS tapes and shit. So, so this wiki bio where he talks about being a drag performer, it was under the name of he had a wiki bio under Anthony DeVolder, and which is why nobody found it until now. And it hadn't been edited since 2011. So if it's a long con, if it's a con, it's a very fucking long one. Let me just read from this right real quick. The wiki bio.
Hold on. The assumption here, obviously, because he had no profile at all back then. This is a Wikipedia page for Anthony DeVolder. So clearly he made his own page and filled all this in.
Right.
It's clearly what happened. So with that in mind, please read through some of the noted items included in this Wikipedia bio, because there's some pretty good shit in here.
I think Wikibio was maybe affiliate
different
Wikipedia
thing.
But I think it's more like a LinkedIn, but no, it isn't LinkedIn. Okay. Anyway, it doesn't matter. So,
but still, Wikibio, he did it himself.
Right. Nobody else would have done this. The Wikibio for Anthony DeVolder, which is full of spelling and grammatical errors, appears to contain fantastical descriptions of his supposed career in show business. It claims that he had a part in Disney's Hannah Montana. Now, this is fucking hilarious for a lot of reasons. If you're not familiar with the oeuvre of Hannah Montana, the show was about a girl who has a secret life as a famous performer.
Right.
So think about Miley Cyrus, Hannah Montana, and Anthony DeVolder and George Santos, and the rubric begins to fall away. So in the 2011 bio, he sprinkled show business credits that these are obviously fake. They're fake for a lot of reasons. But He claims his Hollywood career took off after he had a meeting with a producer of Independence Day. And he name drops the director Steven Spielberg, except he misspelled his last name as Spielberg.
Yeah.
This guy claiming to be Jewish couldn't spell Steven Spielberg's name. He also claims to have starred in a few TV shows and Disney Channel shows, such as The Sweet Life of Zack and Cody and Hannah Montana. He spelled Hannah wrong the second time. It also concludes with him writing that 2 years prior, he had, quote, taped his very first movie starting...
Yeah.
Uma Thurman. Chris O'Donnell.
It's like Melissa O'Donnell. One of these names is misspelled, y'all. Anyway, keep going.
Melissa George, which made me laugh because I had to go look up who she is. And she's a successful actress. She's just not a name. I was like, oh, yeah, I've seen that lady and stuff. And Alicia Silverstone. He made Silverstone two different words. And he said he was in the movie The Invasion, which is a 2007 sci-fi thriller that stars Nicole Kidman and Daniel Craig. So he listed Melissa George, spelled her name wrong, but didn't mention that he also co-starred with Nicole Kidman and Daniel Craig. why?
Right.
Who's reading wiki bios anyway? Who the fuck are you trying to impress? Going to his actual legal troubles, this is a story from today. George Santos admits $500,000 personal loan to campaign wasn't personal. Now, this made me laugh because he's been amending his campaign finance reports constantly. Like, basically, like, every day he's updating them to change to different lies. And so he's now saying that a $500,000 loan he gave to his campaign didn't, in fact, come from his personal money. So, but he did not say where it came from. This guy's in deep hot water with the feds. But this previous defense for where that money came from was that he had taken that out of the DeVolder Organization, LLC, saying that it was his personal firm, so he was okay to take the money, but he's not the firm's sole owner. So his previous legal defense was that he fucking embezzled.
Right. Yeah. I don't even know. The thing that's wild to me about that is just like that money evidently did exist. So it came from some, you know, whatever shady puppet master benefactor or something. Cause it's like, it's, you know, I would have assumed there was no $500,000, but obviously there was. They used it for something. But it's like, where in the hell did this dude get that? Cause I know it couldn't have been from his company just killing it in the hedge fund game or whatever, the brokership matchmaking shit, whatever it was they were supposed to be doing. Like,
yeah, I don't know. Like, my first thought was, yeah, like you, the money didn't exist and he just inflated his campaign's war chest to look impressive, but they spent a bunch of it. So the money, at least some of that money did exist. And I just, I really don't know how he's the only, right at this point, the only way he can stay out of federal prison is to get elected president. So good luck to him.
Yeah, like you said, he's the gift that keeps on giving, man. Like who knows where else this story is going to go? Because literally nothing would surprise me at this point. It's pretty wild, to say the least. Again, just the sheer audacity of things. I mean, the 2011 thing. I could, like, back then when he wrote that, he was just some dude trying to bullshit his way through whatever and impress people with lies. Those are some very egregious lies that he's telling, very easily disproven. But, you know, once he gets into running for office and just keeps making all this crazy shit up, I mean, that's a choice.
Dude, my dad's cousin spent a couple years in L.A. in the 80s and came home and told everybody he'd been doing cocaine with the guy from Airwolf.
Right.
And they were like, yeah, that seems like I can't disprove that lie. He might have, the world's weird. Maybe he did fucking do coke with the guy from Airwolf. But,
or at least he did coke with some dude who told him from Airwolf or whatever.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? Like, my mom told me she met the drummer for Poison in some bar in fucking Jackson County, Tennessee once. I was like, no, you met some motherfucker who told you he used to drum for Poison in an effort to impress you. So, you know.
I mean, you know my story about how I think I met the brother of Larry Bird in a bar.
Yes, I do know that story.
I do believe that to be true. He showed me his driver's license, and his last name was Bird, and he looked exactly like him, but I don't know. But anyway, on Friday, the Patreon episode, we spitball hypothetical lies he could come up, and nowhere did we get close to he would say he was in the cast of Hannah Montana.
Right.
It's just, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, dude.
Yeah.
All right, our first and actually only honorable mention for Daily Dumbass is whoever organized Diamond's funeral of Diamond and Silk fame for not being stricter with the eulogy sign-up sheet, because somehow this lady got on there, and it's something else, man. Hit it whenever you're ready.
Donald J. Trump, that was her boyfriend, okay? Did you know that? That was her boyfriend. And then her little sidekick, Silk said, I think y'all call it sidekick. Sidekick, side piece, whatever.
Mike Lindell.
All right, you cut it, man.
Diamond side piece, Mike Lindell. Yeah, what a wonderful mental image that is. Those two guys doing the Eiffel Tower or something to that effect with fucking Diamond.
Yeah. I like her part where she goes, what do y'all call it? Sidekick? Side piece? Like, what do y'all call it? It's like, help me translate this to black, please.
Yeah, exactly.
This whole thing was a real fucking event. Trump apparently was promised, he was pissed off. He only got to speak for 20 minutes. Of course, he way over 20 minutes. He also didn't get to go on over 3 hours into the service. So this was a whole fucking thing. Trump used his eulogy for Diamond to talk about counties emptying out their prisons, mental institutions. He talked about gas prices, inflation, the federal budget, and the wall. But also, this moment was worth it for the whole event. You got this next video. This starts with Silk talking and then Trump calling her a liar.
President Trump, I just want to say thank you so much for believing in Diamond and Silk. He treated us just like Laura, treated us just like the other children, Eric, Don Jr., Tiffany. He treated us just like when we came around, when Diamond and Silk came around, it was like we was part of the family.
You know, the world has lost one of its brightest stars, real star, but I see that we have another star who is equal to, but she stepped up and she is different. I'm serious. I thought I knew them both. I didn't. I knew Diamond, but I didn't know Silk at all. I just learned
about Silk. All right. To be completely fair here, I don't know that anything says to me more Donald Trump treated us like his own children than him forgetting her name or that she existed. Do you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
He's definitely done that with Eric and Tiffany and them across the years. So, I mean, I feel like she, called it straight there. It seems like he thinks of her as family to me.
Yeah, I was about to make the same point. I wonder the last time I spoke to Don Jr. was. You beat me to the punch. You literally beat me to the punchline. But yeah, that was so fucking funny to me. He goes to this funeral, doesn't even talk about the dead woman. And the woman, he spoke after her. He'd heard her say how well he treated her. And he goes, actually, I don't know who this bitch is. Just deeply funny.
Yeah, man, he's something else. all right, speaking of something else, let's get into it. Talking about antitrust, monopolies, and not the board game. Mark, what's going on here? So we got some congressional hearings and whatnot. I know there's a huge ordeal earlier this year when Taylor Swift's tour went on sale. A lot of people got really pissed off. And when you hit as hard as Taylor Swift, that can ultimately result in congressional hearings, it seems.
Yeah, it's so deeply funny to me that congressional lack of federal regulation and corporate monopolization has combined to radicalize Taylor Swift fans into wanting to tear down the oligarchy.
Yeah.
So Taylor Swift, whose parents worked at Goldman Sachs. So if you guys didn't follow the Taylor Swift thing, so Taylor had a first big tour in a long time, and they were doing this like coordinated ticket rollout where if you were a member of her fan club, you're supposed to get VIP access, but that didn't happen. And apparently nobody could get tickets. And a bunch of scalpers were able to scoop them up, and people were having to overpay. Like, people were logging on to buy tickets, and they have got congestion pricing like airlines. And so, like, the first round of ticket sales were like $5,000 for like a nosebleed seat. They're like, what the fuck? So anyway, everybody got mad at Ticketmaster, rightfully so. But people should have been mad at Ticketmaster for like the last 30 years, which at a point Pearl Jam tried to make in the 90s and it ruined their careers. But anyway.
I mean, this type of thing is like a real problem now with a lot of shit. It's not just like Ticketmaster, but the same type of thing happens with like PlayStation 5s, for example, or stuff like that. Like they announce a pre-release or a big release, you know, the limited amount of inventory. And every time a real person can't actually get in on it because of bots or whatever, scoop them all up and then resell them for jacked up prices. And it's been some bullshit for a minute. And this type of thing is exactly why we need, you know, government regulations or whatever, because they don't give a fuck. Like, why do they care? They're selling them either way. You know what I mean? Like, no. They don't give a shit.
The Ticketmaster exec tried to blame it on bots, which I don't fully buy, because part of the thing about the congestion pricing is what they're trying to do is sell the first run of tickets at resale prices. And you're right, it's not just this stuff. It's also like sneaker drops and whatever. Mm-hmm. But so this is probably the biggest day. This day presented probably maybe the most optimistic for any sort of antitrust crackdown in a while, not just because of Ticketmaster, because the DOJ also announced a second lawsuit aiming to break up Google for another reason. And also there's a weird stuff going with airlines, which I want to talk about because it made me laugh at the end. This made me optimistic for maybe the government can actually start getting off of the ass and doing stuff to make, you know, regular people's lives better. But also it's Congress, so it was deeply silly. So I thought it was fun. It'd be fun to talk about. So this hearing happened today where basically everybody ripped Ticketmaster a new asshole. The CEO, I think it was the CEO of Ticketmaster there. And then Live Nation Entertainment is the umbrella name for when Ticketmaster merged with Live Nation, which is part of the problem. The people there.
Yeah. Listen, for the record, before we continue on, just full disclosure, pretty sure everybody will know this or not be surprised by it, because of how prominent they are in the industry. But I, you know, with my show and my tour, sometimes it's with either or both of these entities, like Ticketmaster sometimes, but not always, sells our tickets because, you know, it's literally unavoidable. I also, you know, I get complaints from people. It's not just the shit like with Taylor's people. You know, I don't have a big resale market. All right. So that's not much of a problem for me. But like, you know, all their fees and stuff that get tacked on, you know what I mean? People will, you know, message me or whatever about the cost of a ticket to a show. And I'm like, what? That's nowhere close to right. And then I get on there and look, and it is, once all these fees and shit get added, that I have nothing to do with, you know, and also can't control. And it does, you know, it really sucks. Like a lot of, I think most artists not happy, would prefer it be different, but you know,
right? Yeah, but like that's the thing about monopolies, is you don't have any choice. It's just like they're not just fucking over consumers, they're fucking over artists too, because like they own the venues and they own the right to operate the venues. And if you want to put on a show, there's nowhere else to go, right? So it's like that's you're not culpable here, that's the whole problem. It was basically this one guy against the world. There was an artist there testifying against him. The CEO of SeatGeek ripped him a new asshole because they're the ones who handle the resale market. Then it was a bipartisan overwhelming majority fucking hate Ticketmaster, and it was glorious. They came under like extremely fierce criticism. It was, like I said, it was bipartisan. Ticketmaster did apologize, but largely blame external problems like the overwhelming volume for Taylor Swift tickets and bots for it, but they're bullshitting.
That's still on them. You know what right. I mean? Like, that's still on you to police that and have, you know, something in place to account for that, because you know that that's going to happen. Like, it, you know.
Yeah. I have to do this stupid I'm not a robot capture thing 10 times a day. So I know they have the technology. So the hearing was titled, That's the Ticket, Promoting Competition and Protecting Consumers in Live Entertainment. So typical Congress, they gave a long, boring title to something that was actually interesting. This was prompted by the Taylor Swift thing. Oh, talking about the fees and stuff, I wanted to mention, I saw somebody say earlier today that they recently bought 4 concert tickets for them and their 3 kids for $24 a piece. So $24 a piece means it's not a big time act, right? And the four, when they went to check out, those 4 $24 tickets cost them $190.
Right. That's exactly what I'm talking about. I mean, that shit like happens with my shows and stuff too. And again, like I don't have a fucking clue what all that extra money is about or why that happens or how, you know, it's just, they just do that shit.
Yeah. So the lawmakers discussed possibilities like making tickets non-transferable, which probably doesn't hit for anybody because you have season tickets to an NBA, to a football or basketball team. You can't go to all of them. You want to be able to resell them, right? So that seems like a no-go. Right. Plus concerts, like you buy tickets to a concert, then you get COVID. Now you can't sell them. That sounds like it's not, you know, accurate. But they talk also requiring laws require more transparency, which, you know, that would mean you would know upfront the cost of the ticket instead of the hidden fees. So when you go, instead of going by four $24 tickets.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
It's going to cost you $190. You'd be going up front. These are four $47 tickets or whatever, right?
Yeah, but I'll tell you why I don't like that is because that makes it look like if that was my show, doing it that way makes it look like I'm charging $47 for a ticket to my which I'm not, you know, so I'm not really on board with that. Also, for the record, not all the shows are like that, and still come and save me, please, by the way. Thanks, Matt. I appreciate that. This is a bit of a minefield for me, but I would appreciate if y'all still come. It means a lot to me, Ticketmaster aside. Anyway, go ahead, Mark.
There's also a problem here where, like, Ticketmaster won't say it, right? Because they can't, because a lot of those fees probably are going to the artists who want the ticket price to look lower. So they're sort of the designated villain to jack up prices, and they split the difference with the artists, right? Because Taylor Swift's going to sell out.
Right. Yeah, I'm not saying that don't happen, I ain't never been offered that deal. The fees just get put on there and then go somewhere else, in my experience. But yeah, I'm sure with the big names and stuff, I mean, I'm sure you're probably right, or it probably does happen.
They didn't want to anger Taylor Swift fans anymore because they didn't blame that on Taylor, but they basically said that's what happens with Bruce Springsteen's tour, is that all the fees are partly Bruce's. So, this is Amy Klobuchar is the chairman of this committee, and she the number she threw out there that ticket fees are now an average of 27% of the ticket cost and climb as high as 75% in some cases. Now let's talk about why Ticketmaster slash Live Nation is a monopoly here, because these stats blew my mind. All right, 87% of NBA teams have exclusive agreements with Ticketmaster. 87.5% of NHL teams, 93% of NFL teams. All right. Where did I lose track of that? Oh, sorry. I lost track of that. Okay. Sorry. I found it. The first page lists Billboard's top 40 tours in 2022. 87% of Billboard's top 40 tours in 2022 were ticketed by Ticketmaster. 87% of Billboard 2022 top 40 tours were performed at venues that were ticketed by Ticketmaster in the U.S. 89% of all shows in Billboard's 2022 top 25 stages were ticketed by. So you cannot go to a live event or without serious planning ahead. You cannot go to a live concert or sports event in America without going through Ticketmaster. And another first thing is here is since they merged, Live Nation also owns the venues.
Right. Well, that's that high percentage of all those acts, you know, the shows took place. They worked with Ticketmaster, but like that's probably because the venues they need to play in whatever cities they're going to, depending on the size of their act or whatever, they're owned by Live Nation, which owns Ticketmaster. So there's really no other viable option for them, you know?
Yeah. It was a real like through the looking glass moment today, because the Ticketmaster CEO was like, well, a lot of the fees aren't put on us, put on there by us. They're put on there by the venue. And the artist, a guy named Lawrence, was like, but you own the venue.
Right.
And everybody went to like the Scooby-Doo confused. I was like, ooh. It's like just round and around they go. So a few, some numbers about these numbers from 2019. I couldn't find more recent ones, so I'm sure it's gotten worse since then. So here in Los Angeles, Live Nation owns the Staples Center and LA Live. They list more than 150 event venues in the world, including stadiums and theaters that it owns, manages, consults, or is affiliated with. In 2018, they had exclusive booking rights in 237 venues globally. So these are all the biggest venues. So if you want to see a big act, you're going to a big venue. So basically, they control all the high-end market. Unless you're going to see a band play at like your local bar, it's a Ticketmaster or Live Nation event, probably. So Obama got dragged here too, kind of rightfully so, because in the Senator Mike Lee asked why the Obama administration allowed the Live Nation Ticketmaster merger to happen. And this lady gave a not compelling answer that boils down to the DOJ was afraid to lose. So you want to get nerdy here for a second, Trey?
Sure.
All right. So antitrust law in America is fucked, but mostly because of one guy named Robert Bork. If you're familiar with the name, you probably know it from the term borking, which is to like take down a Supreme Court justice nomination, because he was nominated to the court in the 80s, but the fact he was a segregationist came up and he lost like 88 to 12 or something.
But yeah, anyway, do it.
He literally wrote the book that's the basis for American antitrust law, and basically argued that antitrust law is bad for consumers because he's saying that consolidation can help companies keep prices down, and that unless mergers and acquisitions actually affect prices that face consumers, the government should ignore it. Now, one, prices don't go down.
No.
And two, cartels allow you to jack up prices, which is the whole point of having a fucking cartel. Ask OPEC or the Sinaloa cartel. Two, there's other reasons that huge monopolies are bad, like only having one supply chain, right? Which is basically what we learned with the baby formula crisis. So Robert Bork was full of shit, burned in hell for a whole host of reasons. So the guy from SeatGeek went on and on about everyone's afraid of retaliation by Live Nation and how Live Nation locks down their venues with 10-year contracts and exclusive dealing arrangements. I brought up Pearl Jam earlier, but everybody knows that like they refused to work with Ticketmaster and basically had a very difficult time touring for close to a decade until the point they gave up and just went back to working with Ticketmaster. So the closest thing they had to it was a grunge band. The closest thing they had to a punk rock moment in the 90s completely collapsed on them and they had to give up to make a living. Anyway, so that brings us to the fun part. So Let's watch this Amy Klobuchar video because it's deeply hilarious to me for a lot of reasons.
Endeavor, we have interest from both sides of the aisle. And I think you all know, as Senator Durbin mentioned, that competition policy is very important to me. I believe in capitalism, and to have a strong capitalist system, you have to have competition. You can't have too much consolidation, something that unfortunately for this country, as a ode to Taylor Swift, I will say, we know all too well. All in right. Over 75% of our industries.
Okay, Matt. So that's a Taylor Swift lyric she's quoting, obviously. And I want to make fun of her for it, but because they're Congress, all of these cornballs had the exact same idea.
Right. yeah. And if we're going to watch the other ones, we're going to watch the other ones, right? Or at least one of the other ones.
Actually, it's the more quotes. Fun to read, I think. We can skip it. Yeah, I'll just read the quotes. I'm quoting here from this thing. Did you want to watch the video?
The one of Mike Lee doing his thing.
Yeah, okay, we can watch it. Yeah.
Yeah, if you have it, Matt, go ahead and pull it up. Because I was just going to say, like, if I'm going to rank the Taylor Swift references or quotes, even though Mike Lee's a Republican from Utah, I think I got to give him the nod based on, you know,
factors. Before Matt plays the video, I want to – so the quotes I'm pulling are from a People magazine piece about this issue and hearing. People magazine was covering an antitrust hearing, all right? Mm-hmm. And I saw some polling data that 68% of Americans are for breaking up Live Nation / Ticketmaster. This might be the most bipartisan issue in America besides, you know, ice cream and orgasms are good or something. I don't know what the hell. But anyway, let's watch this Mike Lee video.
We've had a lot of talk in the last few rounds about restrictions on the ability of a consumer, a purchaser of a ticket, being able to sell it to someone else. A lot of people seem to think that's somehow a solution. I think it's a nightmare dressed like a daydream, and I don't think we ought to go there. I have to throw out, in deference to my daughter Eliza, one more Taylor Swift quote. Karma's a relaxing thought. Aren't you envious that for you it's not? That's all I've got to say. Thank you.
All right.
Yeah. See, look, because he chose some of the more like, you know, poetic lyrics, right? And got them in there. I felt like Klobuchar, you know, that lyric was "We know all too well" or whatever. It's like that's kind of also just a thing that people say. That, you know, Taylor also said in a song, but you know, Mike Lee, he really went for it. I don't know where I'm going or the show is going with all this, but I just wanted to give my feedback on the Taylor Swift quotes.
I know where I'm going with this. Ticketmaster, these people's kids not being able to get Taylor Swift tickets and crying, watching their kids cry about it for a month has these people so upset that a Mormon from Utah is talking about karma.
Right. Well, also, I mean, I was going to say, you were saying it's like it's a bipartisan issue, and I don't know this from experience, but I'm assuming that, like, you know, Kid Rock tickets are probably also a problem. You know what I mean? Like, it's probably an issue with Kid Rock tickets too. It's not just Springsteen and Pearl Jam. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, I can see it being a bipartisan thing. Nobody likes this shit.
You got to know MAGA rap legend 4G Auto Blow is trying to sell out a Staples Center. Something going to happen. So, it wasn't just those two quotes from Mike Lee. Mike Lee also used a quote, used "You Belong With Me" in his opening statement. And before he even got to his opening statement, he talked about how he until the election, he thought he would have the gavel during this hearing. But she joked with Amy Klobuchar that she's cheer captain and I'm on the bleachers. So four Taylor Swift quotes.
He had a bunch of them. Yeah. I think he knows his stuff. I'm just saying. I'd be a closet Swifty over here.
There's also another one from Amy Klobuchar. Two more from Amy Klobuchar. She opened her opening remarks with an All Too Well reference. The second one's from Richard Blumenthal. He asked Live Nation's president, Joe Berchtold, to look in the mirror and say, quote, "I'm the problem, it's me." So the highlight of this hearing for me was the guy who testified as an artist. His name was Clay. He's there speaking for you, Trey. Clyde Lawrence, he is, this guy hit for me. He ripped into this dude at, you know, we talked about how they retaliate, and The guy from SeatGeek brought up the fact that they've been operating under a consent decree that forbids the DOJ consent decree that forbids them from doing retaliatory stuff against their competition or artists that don't cooperate with them. And they've repeatedly violated it. So this guy probably tanked his own career to speak up at this hearing. So more power to him. But he talked about how it affects artists. Basically, if you follow any sort of band, you might notice people are touring way less. And that's because there's no fucking money in it. There's not much money in being in a band anymore, which, you know, you might not care until there's no more music to listen to, you know. But it's just the entertainment industry, like everything else, has been torn to shreds by consolidation, vertical integration. His band is called Lawrence the Band. And I was like, I wonder if I heard anything about that. And I have. I recognize a song. We can't play it, obviously, because we'll get dinged for copyright, because we should pay this dude to play his music. But it's called Don't Lose Sight. And if you look up Lawrence the Band, Don't Lose Sight, you'll recognize it. So they're a pretty popular band. They have a million monthly Spotify listeners and 170,000 Instagram followers, if that's a metric for use for anything. They've also had songs in Disney and Hulu soundtracks. But he's been speaking up for a while, and he even has a song that has the lyric "Live Nation's a Monopoly." And he wrote a piece in the New York Times recently that said, whether it meets the legal definition of monopoly or not, Live Nation's control of the live music ecosystem is staggering. And he closed his opening statement to the committee with, I hope to see some of you at one of my band's concerts. If you'd like to come, let me know so I can throw you on the guest list and help you avoid the ticket fees. So that was funny to me. But just to talk about what a shit company Live Nation is, it's not just that they're abusing fucking their market control to fuck over artists and customers. They're also have been dinged for OSHA violations. They have a bunch of lawsuits from artists, including Beyonce. They fuck with Taylor Swift and Beyonce. These motherfuckers are going down. They had a stage collapse at one of their venues during a Radiohead concert that got a bunch of people hurt. They've been linked to at least 200 deaths and 750 injuries at events in 7 countries since 2006 from having poor security and bad facilities. They also a rapper who I like named Drakeo the Ruler here in Los Angeles. He got murdered backstage at a show. There was where Live Nation was ostensibly providing security, and the people got away with they'd never been caught. Anyway, so fuck Live Nation, but there's a couple other developments I want to talk about before we get to questions and comments. We talked about the DOJ filing a lawsuit to break up Google. That Merrick Garland did his press conference during the Ticketmaster hearing, and I was like, wait, is Dark Brandon activating his powers? Are we going to fucking crush corporate America? I don't think so, because they announced Biden announced his new chief of staff, and it's a private equity executive. So
nice. Yeah, you'll have that. So yeah, it's got to do with Google's ad business.
Right? Yeah,
I don't break it up coming after Google. Google's also been, I don't know if it's related, layoff and stuff. Like, I don't know, something's going on at Google, evidently.
Yeah, the layoffs, because I was reading a breakdown of it earlier. The layoffs don't have anything to do with the tech bubble collapsing. It's like they shifted their business models in pretty stupid ways during the pandemic, sort of expecting the changes during the pandemic to be permanent, and they weren't. So because people went back to living their lives after they at least feel like COVID's over. This has to do with the ad business, and I couldn't really get my hands on the ins and outs of it, but somebody compared it to, because they control access to the customer and the advertiser, and they take a cut going in between. So they compared it to if a private company also owned the New York Stock Exchange that they were listed on. So that was a comparison they used. But they've also there's also another DOJ lawsuit trying to break up Google that I do understand that's going to trial in September, that is because of them rigging their search results based upon who pays them to advertise, which if you use Google regularly, like I have to use a lot for work, you notice that Google's gotten significantly less reliable because they force feed you the worst content because that's who's fucking paying them. So that seems like intentionally providing a worse service to make more money feels like a side effect of over monopolization, right?
Yeah. And yeah, that's the American way right there. Just squeeze every dollar out with mm-hmm. no regard for the experience or the consumer whatsoever, you know, especially like these companies like that are so huge because they have this this element or this attitude of like, fuck you, what are you going to do? Where are you going to go? Right. What are you going to do? Not use our shit? You know damn well you're not going to not use our shit. So why don't you just shut the fuck up and deal with it? Like that's their general attitude.
I can complain about Delta Airlines all day, but if I want to go to fucking Atlanta, guess what?
Yeah.
There's no other way. There's no other way to get to Atlanta. That's the problem. That's what monopolization looks like. Delta could like, well, we have a 50-50 chance of crashing. And I'm like, well, fuck, I got to go to Atlanta. I don't know what am I going to do? So talking about the bigger picture here, the FTC is also going after Meta, which is, you know, Facebook's new stupid ass name. And they're also going after Microsoft for their proposed acquisition of Activision, the video game company. So it feels like there's some real momentum here to try to shift the, cause like, I know, like, I don't know what industry all of our listeners and our viewers are in, but like this shit deeply affects the business we're in, where pay is rapidly falling. So are job opportunities, because the whole entertainment business is essentially owned by four companies and they'll probably mm-hmm. merge soon. You know, like Disney now owns Fox and Hulu. You know, the two of the biggest streamers right now are owned by Amazon and Apple. And it's like, I'm not sure how long there will be jobs. As soon as AI learns to write TV shows, I'm probably homeless.
So that'll be fun.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be a minute, though. I mean, I'm kind of surprised Netflix hasn't already tried one written by an AI, but I think it'll be funny for all the wrong reasons when they eventually do. I think, you know, even if they think they're ready, they're not really going to be ready for that, because there ain't no way that shit's going to hit, Mark, right? Surely, no.
I mean, okay. I know of at least one.
What if it was fire, dude?
Yeah.
What if they put one out written by a robot and we all just had to objectively be like, oh, I mean, that's some rock solid stuff right there. It would be hugely disappointing.
Yeah. The robot writes the show and it's RoboCop, but it's a family comedy this time. I do think, like, I do know of at least one big production company who I won't name that is using AI to read read scripts that are submitted for coverage. So yeah, that's fun to have your life decided by a robot deciding what art's good.
Jeremy Landry says Netflix uses AI to choose show pitches already.
Yeah.
I've always heard that like a lot of decisions are made there based on their algorithm, or maybe it is AI or some whatever, some computer shit numbers they run. It's highly analytical and not as subjective or whatever is what I've heard. They keep all that shit kind of behind the curtain, but yeah,
for sure. But I thought the algorithms are talking about the ones that like where they can look at precise data for what demographics of people watch the show and for how long before they turned it off, right, and how much of a shot they give it. I thought it was that,
right? Like, I mean, that's what I'm saying too, but it's just like number crunching. Like they know, they just look at the number and the demo, like according to our algorithm, a show like this with this kind of lead about this subject matter or whatever could expect to do X percentage in the 18 to 49, like all that type of shit, as opposed to being like, that sounds like a fun creative risk. Let's give it a shot. You know, like it's not like that.
Yeah. A robot wouldn't let Breaking Bad go past three episodes because no one was watching it at that point.
Right.
So this one last example I want to talk about real quick, cause it really made me laugh. This is from Friday. United Airlines had an investors call, and the CEO of United Airlines is essentially begging for more government regulation because consolidation. He's snitched on other airlines because they're booking flights they know they can't run. They're selling tickets they can't fulfill in order to get free money and then slow walking the refunds. And he was saying that's part of the problem with Southwest and other airlines during the fucking holidays. And he says it's going to happen again because they're going to keep doing this. Now, that's straight up fraud. If you know you're not going to have a plane or a crew to fly to a location, you sell tickets to it, why aren't you guilty of a crime? But either way, the government should break up these fucking companies so they actually have to fight for a dollar instead of just being able to steal them at will. This guy also blamed it on Buttigieg. He says this guy was saying Buttigieg has the power to crack down these companies and he's not doing it. So,
right.
Brandon, activate your powers in the Department of Transportation, please.
Yeah, I've heard for years that this is a similar thing. It's not as egregious as that, I don't think, but that they always oversell pretty much every flight that they have. Like they sell more tickets for it than exist seats on the plane because, you know, people aren't going to be able to make it or change their plans or whatever. But when that doesn't happen, which sometimes it doesn't, then, you know, people are just fucked. And that's when they offer those travel vouchers for somebody else to take a different flight or whatever. Cause turns out you don't have a seat, even though you bought a ticket. Cause
part of it,
you know, just how they roll.
That's, I used to work at it when I first day jobs, and I moved to LA. Was I worked for an executive headhunter firm writing press releases and shit. And they're like traveling salesmen, right? They go around the country shaking hands. And what they'll do is they'll have their assistant book them a ticket on every flight out of town that day, because they don't know which one they want to get on. And they can, because they have their preferred business travelers, they just return the tickets for whatever flight they don't take. And they don't know, you know, if they, you don't know what flight you're going to be on, because you don't know how long the meeting's going to take if you want to take a last minute meeting, right? Mm-hmm. So overselling some makes some sense. But yeah, right. When everybody does show up for a flight, you get fucked.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. All right, Matt, start finding us some questions and comments. Some more. You already hit us with that one, which I appreciate. Also, while Matt's looking for them, you've got a note in here. So there's a Texas state level Republican congressman who wants to ban food made from aborted fetuses, or actually, he just wants food made from aborted fetuses to be properly labeled. Right. That's his proposed law. That's going to be a problem for my Satan sausages, Mark. If I can't eat, you know, any baby meat in my sausages anymore, I don't know how I'm supposed to praise the dark Lord. As long as they're just going to put it on the can, I can handle that. That way I know exactly how much baby I'm getting with my breakfast. But yeah, of course, that is not food made out of fetuses, not as of yet a thing. Society hasn't reached that point quite yet.
There's not sure
what that's about.
Infant soil grains. Yeah, the state senator named Bob Hall, who's an absolute fucking lunatic, proposed a bill to, put warning labels on food made of fetuses, which will be a very quick process because there are none.
Right.
but this part, this line killed me. And this kicker on the story was like, food containing human fetal tissue, which again does not exist, could meet the definition of cannibalism, which no federal law criminalizes and most states do not regulate. And I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, I've actually heard that before about, like, because there was some dude on the internet who like had to have his foot amputated, and they gave it to him, and then he like cooked it and served it to his friends with their consent. They ate like foot tacos or something, and that went viral or whatnot, and people are like, "What the fuck? You could just do that?" And it's like hits his own foot, but also apparently, cannibalism is not super regulated. It's like the killing part, it's the obtaining of the meat that's a problem. I guess if you can get somebody to just cut off a little piece and give it to you to eat it if you want to, I don't know. Aaron Barnes says they need to do big ag and meat industry next. Yeah, I don't know anything about that, but I'm sure it's a nightmare.
As a person who grew up on a family farm that was basically part of the business by big agriculture, I agree with you. And it's also like everybody knows about the egg shortage, right? Mm-hmm. Or like how eggs are super expensive. There's a couple things happening there, but part of it said like the egg industry is so consolidated, there was a big bird flu outbreak, and they had to, because they're all, you know, I don't know the exact numbers, but let's say a third of the chickens in America are in one coop or whatever, they had to put all of them fucking down. So they also just use that as an excuse to jack up prices and gouge people. But again, that's another reason you break them up and crack down on them, because they shouldn't be price gouging off fake bullshit.
Yeah, Scotty Lewis says hard-boiled chicken abortions.
Right, that's a good point. Hey. Can we eat chicken abortions?
Right, it's just eggs, right? Or they're like chicken periods, rather.
Right,
right.
I don't know.
Yeah, eggs or chicken periods. I think.
Yeah,
tasty.
So there's a serious side of this bill, because it would affect the pharma industry too, because a lot of vaccines and medicines are developed with like stem cell lines that are based on like fetuses. No one, like, some of these lines they develop these drugs with go back to the 70s, and no one knows whether they were an abortion or miscarriage or whatever, because I guess the people that started working on them are like, you know, retired or dead by now, and nobody wrote down the origin. So like no one even knows. But like if somebody doesn't want to take a vaccine because it was developed with like stem cell lines, okay, whatever, you know, you can't go to a public school or whatever, but like, okay. Yeah. But if you want to ban them and still labeling them, then that's fucking awful.
So, yes. Yeah. That's what I was about to say. Like if they just want to label them, whatever, who gives a shit. But if you start talking about banning stuff, that's, I ain't with that. Chris Webster says, see you in Orlando Sunday, Trey, at the show and at the meet and greet. Can't wait. Love you. Yeah. That's going to be fun. I believe that show is actually, as of like yesterday or today, sold out. So I'm glad you got in there, Chris. It's going to be a good time.
Yeah. I was going to say, I know you're going to be in Orlando. I could send my father-in-law to boo your liberal nonsense.
Yeah, I'm about to say, I don't think he'd be too into it, or me for that matter. Amy Nagel says, Trey, are you planning on performing in Illinois? Would love to see you in the Chicagoland area. Love you like chicken. I've been in Chicago before. I definitely will be back again. I love Chicago. I was just there. Like, normally I try to go to a place like every 18 months-ish, except for like some city like Nashville and some other southern cities, you know, maybe once a year. And I was in Chicago like right around exactly a year ago, like a year ago this week. In fact, I think we were in Chicago. So I'll be back, but it may be a minute. Also, I'd prefer to go in the summertime. But I do fucking love Chicago, though. Huge fan. So, yes, yeah. Hopefully that works out.
The only time I went to Chicago was the dead of winter, and it did not hit. It is.
Yeah. Every other time I've been there was in the summertime, and it's beautiful, and I loved it. Me and Katie went there for anniversary one year, and we took some boat rides out on the lake, architectural tours and stuff. Chicago's got some great buildings, and they got some wild stories behind it. Chicago's fucking awesome. But last year we were there in January, and yeah, it was, you know, it was decidedly less awesome. The Sphinx says Montana needs well read. Montana's one of the few states we have not been to, and I would love to. I just, you know, whatever the logistics or maybe the demand ain't there. I'm glad you would come, but yeah, I hope to get to Montana one of these days.
I think Bozeman's a liberal tech hub now.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah, I'd love to look into it. Shep says, come to Michigan. Yeah. Love Michigan too. Definitely been to Michigan a few times and we'll be back. How about Seattle? Matt's going through all the cities. Yeah. Seattle's one of my favorite towns too. We also were just in Seattle about a year ago. Producer Matt was at that show, in fact. So that's another one that, yeah, we'll be back, but it may be a few more months or something, but it definitely will happen for sure. I love the Pacific Northwest.
I know you're not bullshitting, because I like almost every town I've ever been to outside of Baton Rouge. Fuck Baton Rouge, but just catching strays, Baton Rouge. I love you. But the you're like a politician right now. It's like, it's good to be back here. And
I know.
Oh, Seattle.
They call that cheap heat. But yeah. I really do though. I like, I also, because it's either, and this is my sincere feelings on the subject, it's either an awesome kick-ass town, or it's like a much maligned or shit upon town. And I have a lot of, I feel like a connection with those places, like places that people think it sucks to be from, or that people like to make fun of. I've always felt like a kinship with those places. So like your fucking Detroits and Clevelands and Pittsburghs and places like that, I think are rad, you know, because I feel like I get it. So pretty much everywhere falls into one of those two categories, in my opinion. So I do like, I suppose.
Yeah, when I got to college, people found out I was from a small town. They'd make fun of me and be like, what do you guys even do there? I'm like, hang out? What do you do where you're from? They're like, hang out? I'm like, okay.
Drive around drinking as a teenager on back roads. Yeah. How about that?
Some of that too. Yeah.
Riding back roads. Yes. An unfortunate pastime in rural America. Mm-hmm. I hope the kids have moved beyond that at this point. All right. In wrapping up, thank you guys for being here. And I want to remind you again, speaking of all those dates and cities, go to treycrowder.com and check them out. Come and see me. I do a full hour, having a lot of fun with it. It's going well. So I hope you'll join me. And once again, go to weeklyskews.com/more or go on Patreon and look me up. And for $5 a month, you can get full-length bonus episodes of the show and also show your support in doing so, which we would appreciate. Either way, what's important is that you keep coming back here every Skews Day for the main show. And as long as you do, we will too. We'll see you 7 days. Love you. Bye.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No